20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Happy weekend, happy Saturday. Your Saturday crew is here. Once again, I am Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Game On Wisconsin, and the Quick Slants Podcast. Here with Matt Frelick of the Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Final Dump Podcast at Game On Wisconsin. Matt, in the state of Wisconsin, happy December to you.
Thank you, sir. It's been fairly moderate thus far. We had a little snow this past weekend. Saturday or Sunday. It's all melted. It snowed again. Still gone, so we're trying to get that thaw in the ground. That's what really has to make it stick. You wouldn't know anything about, you know, freezing temps below the ground level, Jason. But once you get that permathaw or that permafrost in there, I guess, then that's really when we start building those inches along the way here. But I can still see my grass outside, so it's still a non-traditional December in Wisconsin.
No, that's for sure. You said the snow is starting to fall, and I got a big smile on my face. I grew up there. I mean, I lived in in the greater Milwaukee locale, so I had my share of winters, and I spent a year and a half in Minnesota, which is another brand of winter as well. We were actually just talking about January football, hoping that there's going to be some games at Lambeau Field and how we stay warm through that. So, well, without any further ado, as you know how this show has to start, Matt, it's got to start with the weather report. Got two. As I said, we always go as far east as possible. So our friend Alex out in Poland, we have a late fall. Said at an inch of snow last week, but it is all melted. It's sunny, low 30s Fahrenheit, more clouds coming out this weekend. So that is the weather in Poland. I'm always curious what it's like in Europe because, you know, it's like, do they get snow? Do they not get snow? I guess they do. So, because they're up there, kind of in that northern hemisphere. And then, then it's you. Then we got to go to the great state of Wisconsin, the Dairyland State of WI, where there is no football to be played this weekend. But how are we looking in Green Bay otherwise, as far as, like, how's the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, no, it's kind of similar to this past weekend where it was like snow, precipitation one day, little overcast, maybe some sun. It seems like the temperature is a little bit warmer from last week, if I remember. Right now, as a recording, it's 38, feels like 29, so not too bad. We had some like morning snow showers this morning, but it really was nothing. It was like maybe a couple flurries. Looked like it was going to pick up. Saturdays, today you guys are listening, it's going to be pretty nice, high of 35, no precipitation at all. It's been a lot windier, though, like winds up to 20 miles an hour, it shows, and it's been like that for the last couple of weeks, but that's pretty traditional. And then through the weekend, again, like I mentioned from last weekend, similar here, Sunday, maybe some rain, maybe some sleet, maybe some snow. All in all, though, like whatever precipitate does come down, just be careful. The roads, you know, we're getting to that point where once that sun goes down, it gets a little bit brisker out. You can get that glare ice around town when you're stopping on the highway or whatever. But nothing too crazy. It's above 32 degrees for every day for the high. So that's a win for me at this point.
That's true. Keeping the icy stuff off the roads for you, right?
Mm-hmm. And then I'm actually even looking a little bit further ahead. Tuesday, high of 14. That pisses me off. Good, so hopefully that changes, but I will definitely remember that come Tuesday.
Well, that is perfect because I think that is it's typically the players' off day, but that would be the first day that a lot of these Packer players are coming back to Green Bay. So they're going to get a quick reminder, and especially the rookies, of what life is like in the wintertime here in Green Bay. That's supposed to be an advantage for the home team, so we'll see if it indeed is. 78 degrees and sunny here in Phoenix. We'll just graze right over that. Thank you so much. I will send some your way. I won't gloat. And then our friend Harry in Kamloops, Canada, Western Canada. Sunrise is 7:44 a.m., but he reminds us that on his side of the mountain, there's no direct sunlight. And the sunset is, you ready for this, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
3:59 p.m.
Damn.
Local time.
Not even after 4 o'clock. That's brutal.
Yep. Yep. And he said that it's a high of 32, low of 19. So It's winter. It's winter time. It is what it is. Yeah. It's December. That's kind of how it goes. So here's the other question for you, Matt. In your household, is the Christmas tree up? Well, first of all, do you celebrate Christmas? And secondly, is the Christmas tree up or not yet?
I do celebrate Christmas. My girlfriend has a Christmas tree. She said we were going to put it up at some point. It is not up yet. I think we do get an out because there's not really snow on the ground thus far. There's no presents to be put under there. So maybe I need to start buying presents, wrapping them to have a place to put them. So no tree as of yet. We just haven't put it up. It's a fake tree. So that's an easy transition. So I'm going out into the woods and cutting it and hauling it in the house and all that.
Got it. All right. Very good. And mine's not up either. So I guess at some point we'll do that. My son has been vacationing with his mom and her family in Hawaii. So while he hasn't been here, there hasn't been the same usual motivation to put.
Speaking of weather in Hawaii, they're getting like snow right now. You know that, right? Like they're getting like a huge snowstorm or something going on, like a foot of snow they're supposed to get like today, tomorrow, or something crazy like that. Who knows if it'll stick, but that was something I saw this morning, which is pretty bizarre.
That's awesome. I love it. I'll make sure to give him a hard time. He's on his way back. He's got a big soccer tournament today. Sweet. So he's on his way back. He's going to get off the walk right off the plane and play in three soccer games. So I guess when you're 8 years old, you can do stuff like that. So, all right. So no Packers football, but a couple topics we want to talk about. There were some whispers, not totally verified, but there was an Instagram post by Za'Darius Smith. Said it's about that time. There's been some chitter chatter about will Za'Darius be back soon? Jaire Alexander, David Bakhtiari. A lot of questions to be asked. Matt, the bye week was a big target for some of these guys who were injured, as it is commonly when teams think about bringing somebody back. And the Packers are very conservative with their medical staff. And so it was like, okay, if you can get through the bye week and survive, you get that extra week off, then they can come back and they're fresher for the rest of the way. So let's talk about those three guys, because they were big contributors. They've been big contributors. They're three of the best players when they're healthy, they're three of the best players on the team over the past couple seasons. And if somebody had told you before the Packers kicked off against New Orleans, hey, they're going to be without David Bakhtiari through the bye week, they're not going to have Za'Darius Smith for most of that time, and Jaire is going to play less than half of those games, how would you have thought the Packers would have fared up to this point? Go back, and I'm asking early September, Matt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, early September, Matt, was like kind of fretting about David Bakhtiari not being activated for game one, to be honest. Like, I reflect back on that a lot, like, and I talk about that on Packaday and Final Dump a lot, where it's like that end of August, I was at least chomping a bit like, what's this offensive line going to look like? How are they going to make this work with Elton? Like, they got Josh Myers in there now. Like, what's the right side? And like, just David Bakhtiari alone not playing in week one or even pre-week one, I was like, that kind of worries me a little bit. And if you were to tell me Za'Darius was out, and at the time I think he was nursing that back, but it was like, you know, it was going to be touch and go, right? We weren't overly concerned. So you kind of had at least a grumbling of what that could have become at this point in week 13. But the Jaire one would have threw me for a loop, right? Because like, we hadn't seen Eric Stokes yet. He didn't play in the preseason at all. Kevin King, I guess the narrative around Kevin King was still based off of how his playoff run went, and that was subpar, and you know, anything in Kevin King's career is always hampered by injury. And they had been bringing in guys left and right off the street, right? From Yadam to Rasul Douglas, who was signed later. Like, there was just a constant influx of like cornerbacks coming in. So I would have been freaking out, to be honest. Like, there's no way you would have told me this team had only lost three games. I would have guessed they probably at this point would have lost five, maybe a game or two above 500. If that was the case, and like additionally outside of your scenario here, your example, like there's many other guys along the way that have been banged up or aren't on this active roster anymore too. So flashback to I guess Labor Day week, and I would have been freaking out.
Yeah, I would have. I mean, I'm the king of when healthy, if healthy, injuries. It just it's so gutting to me, and I would have just said, okay, pack it up. We'll see you next year.
Yeah,
it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for this team. They're not going to be able to survive. But they have absolutely been able to survive, and we have learned a lot about this team, this front office, this coaching staff, and it's all been really good things. They have done a marvelous job. I don't know how much of it's luck. If you look at a guy like Rasul Douglas, I mean, Matt, guy, they're talking about, we got to get this guy extended already, and I'm like, how about if we still focus on Devontae, and Jair. You know, those key guys. But yeah, I mean, Russell Douglas, Devondre Campbell, they've got the Packers have a growing list of things they need to address when the season's over. But hopefully it's going to be quite some time before that happens. So of those three guys, mm-hmm. Jair Alexander, David Bakhtiari, Za'Darius Smith, it looks like there's still a chance all three of them could come back, or one or two or three of them could come back. So the burning question is, and I know you talked about this a little bit over on Final Dump, and again, everybody, if you're not listening into Final Dump over Game On Wisconsin, shame on you. Add that to your listening list and add Quick Slants podcast while you're at it too, if I could throw 100%. A shameless plug in there. Which of those three is going to be most important for the Packers to get back in order for them to accomplish what we hope they accomplish this season, which obviously is to get to and win a Super Bowl? I will leave it at that. Blank canvas. Which of the three, you have to pick one, is most important?
Yeah, and then I slept on my answer, right? It's from when I recorded 24 hours ago, and I'm going to stick with it. It's to me, like, and I'll give the same examples, right? Maybe I'll sprinkle in a couple other ones I thought about while I was sleeping, but like, first and foremost, David Bakhtiari, as much as impactful as he is, and if you had told me over Labor Day that he wasn't going to be on this team, I would have been pretty concerned. But up until this point, he hasn't been that big of a player that's been missed. Aaron Rodgers has stayed upright for the most part. There hasn't been any like detrimental games where he's just been, you know, chased around and, you know, getting thrown to the ground and getting hit and whatnot. That hasn't really ever happened. The run game's been able to establish the run. We've been able to pass really, really well. The one argument you could make, and I feel like it's a valid argument, is that since you know, this team's done really, really well with the offensive line, but Elgton Jenkins has only missed one game thus far. So let's see how that transitions into the colder months when you have to run the ball more, when maybe pass rushing becomes a little bit more of a priority. So you could make that argument, I think, and say that, you know, without David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins, it could be detrimental to this team. But I don't think David's as impactful as I might have thought end of August. The Za'Darius Smith one, it sucks, and maybe some of it's recency bias where I'm like, you know, I really haven't seen Za'Darius impact the field all that much in 2021. I mean, frankly, at all. He's been, I don't even know how many snaps he had, but I can't imagine it's a significant amount in those limited snaps he had. Right now, Rayshon Gary is super, super solid getting after the passer. Preston Smith has exceeded expectations. You're getting contributions up the middle from Kenny Clark, who's having a phenomenal year once again under the radar. Lancaster's been all right. Dean Lowry's been all right. Yeah, unfortunately, Whitney Mercilus goes down. You'd probably like to see another pass rusher in there. And it'll kind of be a little touch and go here as we get hopefully Za'Darius back on the active roster with Rayshon's elbow. Like that's going to be a huge thing. If he gets tweaked again, or for God's sakes, Kenny Clark or Preston or anyone else I already mentioned gets banged up, that's going to screw some things up as well. But I still stick with Jair Alexander being the most important, because up to this point, Kevin King has been, you know, he's been Kevin King. He's been on the field, he's been off the field. He's been decent, and then he's been absolutely just horrible. Like it's, and most of it's been injury related, so I'll give him a break there, but we've been giving him a break for how many years? Rasul Douglas has been a blessing in disguise for this team. Made some huge plays. I think that Arizona game might come down to a determining factor for the number one spot and getting the bye in the first round and the home field advantage. But also, like, even as great of a play in that pick six he had in the Rams game, he followed up with dropping a pick later, giving up a few plays also after that play. So it's like he's still trying to figure it out, and I don't think he's, like, extend Rasul Douglas. I'm not into that camp yet. Like you said, let's pay some other guys first. And outside of that, like, Eric Stokes, hell of a football player, a rookie cornerback, though you can't necessarily trust all that much. He makes up for some of his inadequacies as far as scheme, as far as footwork, with speed, which is fine. Like, you can't teach that. But at the end of the day, as you transition into these, you know, December games, and specifically once we get into the playoffs, you assume you're going to go up against the Rams, the Bucks, the Cowboys, some combination of those teams, right? And those teams have really, really damn good receiving cores. And if our receiving core, or if our cornerback room is going up against the likes of those trios that each team has, I don't really like how Rasul Douglas, Eric Stokes, and a potentially injured, healthy Kevin King stacks up without Jair Alexander. I think he's by far the most important, because they've had games, specifically the Cardinals game, where that team was really, really banged up. They were still able to kind of be able to move the ball, not even at will, but when they needed to, and actually had to, you know, push the game to extend the game. But also the Vikings game, where it was like Justin Jefferson, whatever the hell he wanted. And that's with a Kirk Cousins and really not a supporting cast that's, you know, all that great to the caliber of the teams I already mentioned. So I think it's Jair. I would be open to the argument on the other ones. I think there's a great argument for both. But right now I'm going with 23 because I want to see him get on the field and at least shut down a third of it, a half of it, and be able to have that versatility in the Joe Barry defense that they could have come playoff time.
Yeah. Now here's the thing I'll say as I'm listening to all your points, which are very well taken, is the Packers have not been a Super Bowl in the last 10 years. The problem is that they've had really good teams, and you have a really good team and you're in good shape until you're not. And you have to, it's a different type of game when you get into the playoffs. It's a different type of game when you go from the divisional round to the NFC championship game. And that's been the Packers' bugaboo. They have not been able to figure out that game. You cannot win that game without your best players. And you can make a case that Rashawn Gary's ascension, and if his arm continues to heal and he can get rid of that brace and play reckless like he's been, and I mean reckless in a good way, then maybe they can survive without Za'Darius Smith. Because a back injury, and I'm telling you, he had back surgery. I don't know all the details. That's hard. It's hard to come back from. And anytime you have back and core injuries, those things linger. It's like a real bad hamstring. Those things linger. They don't go away. But I think the Packers can survive because they've been getting. But that means Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith not only have to stay healthy, they have to stay 100%. Because if they're not, there's nothing behind them. The depth at pass rusher is just not what we needed to be. And even when Whitney Mercilus was there, he was not the Whitney Mercilus that we're used to. He was effective, but not incredibly great. And if it's no Z, and either Preston or Rashawn Gary go down, assuming that there's no COVID issues, it's Jonathan Garvin, who doesn't have a lot of stats or a lot of production to his name. Teeping Nalaya, I can't say it without laughing because I probably mispronounce it. But you got that. If they try Oren Burks, who's not a pass rusher out there, it gets really tough. But that's football, though. I mean, you know, you can have a really deep team, and you can say like, oh, well, if the Packers lose one guy, they're in trouble. Well, that's at a lot of positions. Think about this: if they lose Aaron Rodgers, what does the season look like? You know, so that's just a reality there. But Jair is going to be needed. He's going to be needed because as well as Russell Douglas is playing, I guess my point is to finally bring it home is Russell Douglas has played well. Eric Stokes is growing up before our eyes. You have guys playing the right number of snaps. When Kevin King doesn't have to be a full-time starter on the outside, that's a good place to be. But if those guys can't, you know, but when you get to a conference championship game, look what happens. All it takes is one mistake. And it can even be Russell Douglas, who's been fantastic, but he makes one mistake against a really good wide receiver. And let me tell you, if a team's in the NFC Championship game, they got really good wide receivers that are going to make cornerbacks look silly. And I don't want to see the same thing happen that happened last year. And they had a whole half of the game to mitigate it, but there was a really stupid touchdown that was given up at the end of the first half. And the deficit at the end of the game was less than 7 points. So I rest my case. That said, I'm going with a different player than you went with, Matt. I like the Jair Alexander, but I got to go with David Bakhtiari. Because of the NFC Championship game, Aaron Rodgers was under a lot of pressure. He still put up decent numbers, but Aaron Rodgers was under a lot of pressure. And that's the reason why we've seen the Packers' seasons end a lot, is because your best players don't play their best games. Aaron Rodgers doesn't turn in the type of performance that he has during the regular season. My good friend and leader over at Game On Wisconsin, Jacob Westendorf, has said many times, the next NFC Championship game that Aaron Rodgers plays well in will be his first. He just does not play well, and I think a lot of it has to do with that pressure factor. There was no David Bakhtiari out there. They had Elgton Jenkins, no David Bakhtiari. They didn't have their left tackle. They had to move Billy Turner around, and let's just give Tampa some credit. They had a really good pass rush, and that's why they won the Super Bowl. They were able to put a lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes. Of course, they had, you know, paper bags that were playing offensive line by the Super Bowl, so it wasn't that exciting on the Chiefs side of things, but you've got to have your best players. And now that Elgton Jenkins is gone and he's not coming back this season, you go into that game with no David Bakhtiari and no Elgton Jenkins, they can get by. The Packers can get by. And we're going to go through the rest of the schedule real quickly after this. They can get through this schedule. And I mean at Baltimore and some of their tougher games, playing Minnesota again, with guys like Yash Nyman, Billy Turner, the young guys on the inside, John Runyon Jr., Royce Newman, Lucas Patrick at center. We don't know how long it's going to take Josh Myers to come back. And maybe we should have made Josh Myers part of our conversation too, Matt, but I didn't. David Bakhtiari is going to be needed, and that's it just seems like it's as simple as bring him back and we're good. No, we're not. Because this man has not played football in the last 12 months. And I don't care how all-pro he is. How is he going to come back and how is he going to play right away? There's not going to be any shortage of work, grinding, trying to get back and be ready. I think David Bakhtiari mentally is going to be ready, and I think he'd still be very effective. But can he get his legs under him and can he be all-pro? The good thing is his legs have gotten a rest. His shoulders, everything else has gotten rest, and he's going to be in really good shape. But he's 3 months behind everybody else in terms of how long they've been playing football and how long he's been playing football. So that's my take, is the offensive line and the protection. If Aaron Rodgers has time, then we have no excuse as to why they can't get to score enough points to win a big playoff game. If the defense is going to be what it's been and they're going to limit the points, they're going to keep the score down a little bit. I didn't really enjoy some of the long pass plays that were given up this past week. That was frustrating. A little bit of miscommunication back there. Obviously, you can't have that. That's a big problem in the postseason, but we'll talk about that on another show. So, Matt, before we jump into the remaining schedule for the Green Bay Packers, any thoughts? You already gave some on Bakhtiari. Anything to add there? I can't see any other more important thing than making sure that the engine of your team, because it's still Aaron Rodgers in that offense, isn't running on all cylinders, pun intended.
I think you're spot on, and I think you kind of used this part of this argument or part of this data to back my argument, but I'll kind of spin it on to your side too. It's like teams are different come the playoff time, right? Like, teams get after the passer differently. They scheme differently. And like, you have to be able to block and run the ball and keep your players upright. So like I said, like, they haven't had too many problems thus far with keeping Aaron Rodgers, you know, off the ground. I mean, it's been pretty simple. He hasn't been sacked too much, but like, that could easily change once you start playing higher competition. You mentioned the secondaries and the receivers that are really, really good. And so did I, but like, that could easily be the case come playoff time. So I totally don't disagree with David Bakhtiari. Unfortunately, Za'Darius Smith is the odd man out. Hopefully Zeke can get back as soon as possible and add to that depth. But I think pass rush is, it's important for the Packers to have, and I think they're getting it right now. But overall, I don't know, based off how this team's operating, if they're necessarily prioritizing how a pass rusher back as much as it we all probably would want. I don't think it's overly that important to how the scheme is working, because it seems like you said, it's working pretty damn well without it right now.
I want it on record. You said it. You always beat me to the punch because you're that good. That's why we love having you on this team. But it's different in the playoffs. It's so different. And you get to the NFC Championship game, and it's different. And the Packers know that, but it needs to be different for the Packers. And this year they finally have pieces that can make it happen. And they've got that opportunity, but health is, and it can change on a dime. And the offensive line, the other reason why I say David Bakhtiari is that argument I made about when you lose a good player, any team is going to be screwed. Well, on the offensive line, Matt, think about this. Even if David Bakhtiari does come back, you get a major injury to Billy Turner, one of the guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Jake Hansen has to step in there and play, or if, you know, Braden has to step in there and play, there's a reason why those guys aren't starters. So it gets, you know, we saw it last year when Bakhtiari got hurt. It was Jared Valdir, you know, hoping that the Colts don't win a playoff game so that they can bring Jared Valdir in. They brought him in and he promptly got COVID and wasn't available to play in the NFC Championship game. So that's the offensive line. Just we need all those guys. We'd love to have all three of them come back, but I definitely think David Bakhtiari. And if I had to pick a second, I'd go with your guy, Jair. He's my jersey on game day, so I got to give him some love. So, all right, so the rest of the schedule real quickly, Matt, here. The Packers have a week off. Then they've got a Sunday night game at home against the Bears. Packers, Bears, it's the Dean Lowry Bowl, because Dean Lowry only shows up big against the Bears every year. If you think about it, every time he has a big splash play, it's against the Chicago Bears. The Bears season is kind of teetering here. There was talk that their head coach wasn't even going to survive Thanksgiving. I have to believe there was some truth to some of those rumors. The Bears are obviously not doing much this season. They're not going to go to the postseason. Justin Fields will continue to maybe get some reps. I don't know how serious his injury is or even what the status is if he's going to play. It was Andy Dalton last game against the Lions. They barely beat the Detroit Lions. So Packers-Bears Sunday night, Lambeau Field. I have absolutely no concerns. It is on Sunday Night Football. Everybody will get a chance to see it. Any thoughts on that one?
I'm sorry, which game were you say? Wait, Bears? Bears Cardinals?
Yeah, right. Bears Cardinals. Exactly. Yeah.
My thoughts?
No. Packers Bears.
Packers Bears. Like, dude, there's no.
Speaking of which, I do hope I am going to be watching that game this week. I would love to see an upset. I would love to see an upset. I mean, obviously the Packers need some help against Arizona. Could you imagine if it was the Bears?
Hoping for that. I mean, I am rooting for the Bears this week, but I don't think it's going to happen. Packers Bears. Anything can happen, dude. It's just like, okay, especially prime time. Like, we've seen crazier things occur. I'm not overly sure on this Bears team. Like, I thought they were going to actually be pretty decent with Fields. David Montgomery hasn't really done anything. The offense is anemic. Khalil Mack's out. He has been even, after the Packers played him. However, it's still a divisional game. Crazier things have happened. We only beat them by 10 last time, which that's kind of ridiculous based off some of these other results we've had. Like, I think the Packers definitely win this game. It's not even close to me, but we'll see what happens. Maybe Justin Fields can get some life in him at some point, but I don't see that happening.
I don't know. I doubt it. The Bears still, Then the following week, the Packers will go to Baltimore. This game was just flexed to the late afternoon slot, which is really good for those of us that don't live in the Wisconsin locale. That means we're going to get this one on TV. Packers-Ravens, AFC matchup, Aaron Rodgers versus Lamar Jackson. Ravens have resurged. They're back in the conversation. In fact, I think they're currently the one seed in the AFC, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, it might be New England again, but they're up there. The Ravens are absolutely up there. And this is going to be a tough one for the defense. Mobile quarterback, all those things. They've got receivers. They've got offensive weapons. They got a pretty good defense. It's an unfamiliar opponent. They haven't played there in a while. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to ask anybody to make any score predictions here, but I think this is the toughest game left on the schedule, Matt. Yeah. Now, I was looking at that Browns game earlier in the season, and I thought the Browns might be a big contender in the AFC, and that would be a really tough one, too, and it was kind of a toss-up. I think this game at Baltimore is the last really tough game of the season. And if the Packers want that one seed, they really can't afford to lose any more of their games. Obviously, if you're going to drop one, you'd rather do it against an AFC opponent than an NFC opponent. And the rest of the NFC games are all divisional games. So they've got three divisional games and two AFC games here. So do you agree this is the toughest game left on the schedule? I think the Packers can be okay here, but it's their defensive stats. Dara Carriger put out that stat. I don't know if you saw it about the Packers' red zone defense at home and on the road. It's polar opposites. They've actually been historically bad in the red zone on the road this season. So as good as they've been in the NFL, they're like one of the best in the NFL. They're having a historically bad red zone season on defense this year, even though they're putting up some of the stats that they have. So that doesn't really necessarily bode very well, but what are we thinking about this one? It's Rodgers and Jackson.
I think it's a cool matchup. It's pretty unique. You don't see this very often for the Packers to play the Ravens. I think the last time that it was in Lambeau, I think it was at that game, and it was an absolute blowout. The Ravens kicked the crap. I think it was the Brett Hundley-led Packers. If I'm not mistaken.
They got shut out.
Yeah, it was a terrible game. I bought my tickets in like June thinking it was going to be a great matchup, and it wasn't. But overall, I think, this is the toughest game left. Like you mentioned, Browns looked like it was going to be a top one. The Browns have struggled a lot. A lot of that's due to health of that team. The weapons, obviously Baker Mayfield's been banged up, like I already mentioned. So like that, unfortunately, that team is just in a tough spot where they would be. So this is 100%. It's a road game. It's the one of the two only road games left. We'll get to the final one, and it's obvious why that one's not as tough. But I think this is the one they potentially could drop. If they drop it, that's okay. Because based off of what the Cardinals schedule looks like, too, I think the Packers could afford to lose one. I think the Cardinals have a couple tougher games down the road. But if you look at like the Bucks schedule, the Bucks schedule is like super, super simple. It's wild. So based off that, if they do drop the Baltimore one, that's fine. That just means you have to win out. But I think that's achievable. But it'll be a fun matchup, definitely, in Baltimore. That's a crazy place to play. 3 o'clock game or 3:30 game. But Lamar Jackson versus the Packers, like that's different, because the last time they played him, like I'm saying, even when they shut out the Packers, like it wasn't Lamar. Was it Joe Flacco back then?
Still
I guess
Flacco, I think.
So a Lamar Jackson led team, even when has struggled, they can still pull off some W's, and they got some weapons, like you mentioned. The running game is super, super solid. Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman's having a decent rookie year. Mark Andrews is a matchup nightmare. And that defense, it doesn't really matter who's on the field, is always dynamic with all 11 guys they have out there. So it'll be a fun one. But it's honestly a coin flip for me at this point. I don't even really have a prediction. I just know it should be a tough game.
Really curious to see what the line will end up being on that one. We've got a lot of time before we'll know what that's going to be. Then the Packers come home. They'll host the Cleveland Browns on Christmas Day, a late afternoon game, Saturday, December 25th. This one should also be on TV. The Browns have just not been what we thought the Browns were going to be this year. They've been disappointing. They haven't played very well. Baker Mayfield hasn't had a great season. Kevin Stefanski is familiar with the Packers, so you expect he's going to have a big game plan. I mean, the Packers are the marquee game that every coach and every team wants to win, so jobs can get saved and people can elevate their careers and all that kind of stuff. So I think they're going to have a really tough game plan, and they've got a pretty good defense. I mean, they've got Myles Garrett, who is, you know, got one of the biggest sack leaders over the past couple seasons in the NFL. So they're going to have something to say about how that game is going to turn out. But it's at Lambeau Field. It's on Christmas Day. It just almost seems sacrilegious that the Packers don't win that particular game. And especially if things don't go well the week prior, they can't afford to lose this game against the Cleveland Browns. So it's, again, an unfamiliar opponent. It's the first time Baker Mayfield will take on Aaron Rodgers, Browns, Packers at Lambeau in a freezing cold December 25th. Game, Matt, the question is, are you going to this one? If you're not going to this one, how do you see it shaking out?
Odds are I'm not going to that one. It would be cool, but a Saturday Christmas Day game, literally cool. Like, I'll be more than likely having family Christmas back home in Stevens Point, so I won't be attending that. I've never actually attended a Christmas Day game either, because I don't know if that would be allowed. But I just don't. Like I said, the injuries, too. Conklin's out now too. He had that nasty injury. It was at last Thursday or whatever it was. He had a patella. They're just a super banged up team. Like, I mean, the only scenario I see the Packers losing this game, to be honest, is if Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb just go absolutely bananas. Kareem Hunt just came back from his first game this last week. He was kind of now splitting carries again with Nick Chubb, already back in that rotation. So if they were able to pound the rock a ton, that would be the only other way. But like, the receiving core is just so depleted. The tight ends are decent, but like, they're nothing to be too concerned about. The defense is really, really damn good. You mentioned Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney they brought in. They got that rookie linebacker from Notre Dame. He's fast as hell. He gets all over the field. Denzel Ward, a couple other safeties out there. But like, end of the day, the Browns are just, they've underperformed, but maybe they overachieved last year because they had an incredible postseason run and kind of the end of the year run under Stefanski. But I think they're kind of coming back to their, I guess, their sea level at this point. So I don't expect them to lose. But like you said, anything could happen Christmas Day in Lambeau.
Yeah, for sure. The Packers stay at home the following week. It's the first game of 2022. They host the Minnesota Vikings, the revenge game. It's another night game. Packers, Vikings, again, can't afford to lose this one. Got to finish the season strong. The Vikings may still be in the playoff hunt or may not be in the playoff hunt, depending on how things shake out at that point. So I expect them to come guns blazing. But it does sound like the complexion of this one has changed quite a bit, as Vikings running back Dalvin Cook suffered an injury. I think it was a torn labrum, if I'm not mistaken. And it sounds like he's going to miss some time and may not be back in time for this one. So that'd be a huge break for the Packers. They have struggled to contain Dalvin Cook the last several times that they have played the Minnesota Vikings. And we know if Minnesota's not at their best, they may not necessarily put up as much of a fight. And I think Green Bay might give a nice treat to the home fans to start off the new year. It's on January 2nd. I'm very much less worried about this one than I am on the road. It's kind of how it always goes every year. Never worried about the home game. They always take care of the Vikings pretty well, although they lost last year. But that road game is really tough. It's been the reverse the last couple seasons. They've played well in Minnesota, not as great at Lambeau. So they got to make up for it, and they got to finish strong here. This is the last home game of the regular season for the Green Bay Packers. They're obviously going to have what we assume is going to be at least one more home game in the playoffs. So it's not the last game that the fans will get a chance to see the Packers. But as far as regular season goes, it's a late game, and it's a late game, and it's a night game. And it's in January. So once again, A lot of cold games. A lot of late afternoon into the evening, night games for the Packers late in the season. Another one here at Lambeau Field. Vikings-Packers. Matt, do the Packers get revenge against the purple, whatever you want to call them?
People eaters?
Sure. Well, that was back in the late 70s. They're not that anymore. Yeah,
they're not that anymore. I think they do win this game. Dalvin Cook's health or
they
not.
They being the Packers.
Packers. Yes. They being the Packers. We, I guess, would be the Packers. They would be the Vikings. So we are going to win this game. But I think the Packers win this game. This one actually might be one I try to go to. I haven't been to a game yet this year, which is weird. Normally I end up at a game. It just hasn't worked out that way. So this might be one I actually end up getting tickets for. Right now it looks like it's one of the more expensive games, which makes sense, right? Sunday night. Rivalry versus Minnesota. They always travel pretty damn well to Lambeau. It's not too far across 29 to get here. So, but I think the Packers win. I think, like you mentioned, like you split it with the Vikings, or at some point when the Bears are halfway decent team, you split with them, or whenever the Detroit Lions can figure their life out, we'll split with them. But if you can split with the Vikings at this point with the caliber of team they have, I think that's okay. It will have to monitor how Dalvin Cook's injury lasts, and you would hope in this game they would at least try to slow down Justin Jefferson. And as we kind of talked about in the first, you know, part of the episode, assuming Jair's back, then it would be awesome to see that matchup, to see if they're able to shut him down and let Stokes maybe cover him from time to time, or cover Thielen. So that would be something I'd really be interested in once we get into week 17. But I think the Packers win this game. It'll be probably the second. This and the Cleveland game will probably be the closest, because I think they're kind of in that same ballpark as caliber of teams right now. But the way the NFL season's gone, like, who knows what teams we're getting, especially come to the end of this season, especially with injuries and just the way the teams are trending. But I expect the Packers to win this one. But it'll be one of those rivalry games. It's always going to be tight.
Let's try not to have ourselves get embarrassed by Justin Jefferson again, especially not at Lambeau Field. Packers have to get something done there, because there was some really tough moments. He's a good receiver, but there were some tough moments. That long touchdown where Stokes ended up on the turf near the end zone was just on the touchdown throw. I think that was Stokes, wasn't it? Yeah, That was tough. Absolutely tough. But I think the Packers will get that one done. And then they finish the season at Detroit. We've been here before, Matt. The Lions are winless. And if they're still winless, it's not going to be the last time the Packers are the last opponent on the Lions' schedule on their way to a winless season. They've got that tie against Pittsburgh, but they have not won a game. By then, are they still trying to bite ankles, as Dan Campbell said? Are they still trying to bite ankles and win a game and get one signature win against the Packers? Or have they folded it up and they don't care, and Green Bay is going to boat race over them, and it's either going to be Jordan Love from the jump or Jordan Love to finish it out as the Packers wrap up the 2022 regular or 2021 regular season, I should say.
There's no way they lose this game, right? Yeah. Like, you were talking about Jordan Love too. It's like, even if Love plays, I still feel like they could win this game. And it's all going to come down to, like, the other teams already mentioned, right? Bucks, Cowboys, Cardinals, like where they're at and as far as seeding and whatnot. I imagine at some point, I gotta think Jordan Love gets some snaps in this game. I really, really do. Like, I don't think he would start, but at some point he would do some mop up duty if they're up a couple scores. And even if it comes down to a game where it's like really, really tight, and it doesn't really matter as far as seeding, but you also don't want to give the Lions their first win of the year. So it's going to come down to if the Lions have had a win at this point, and if the Packers can improve their status. If they can't, and the Lions are, what would that be, 1-15 going into the game, and the Packers are 100% locked in at their playoff spot, I would assume that would be the number two at that point, because they would, I think, have to win to probably keep that number one spot unless these other teams fell short. I could see Jordan Love starting, but overall, I think this is going to be a must-win game for them just to keep their head above water, to get that number one seed or keep the number two. But unfortunately for the Lions, it's going to be a tough, tough home game for them. And Dan Campbell for his first year, I really hope they get a win at some point. You never wish, I don't feel like this is one of the worst Lions teams they've had, because I feel like they're trying their best, which sounds hilarious. It sounds like a Pop Warner, like a Little League type thing. But they're super, like, they don't have a lot of talent. Like, that's the really disappointing part. Like, the talent they did have is all banged up. They've lost guys like Okuda goes down the first couple weeks. Swift's now banged up. They lost Quintez Cephas. Like, there's just guys across the board that have been injured, and like, you feel bad for them. At some point, they maybe turn the corner with Dan Campbell, but it's a long, long uproad hill. And if, I guess, if the Packers got to be, you know, put the final stake in them for them to go 0-17, like, so be it. But you don't really wish that on them. If it was the Vikings or the Bears, I would wish that upon them. But the Lions, I don't really wish that on the Lions at this point.
We have a little pity for those guys. Well, Jamal Williams sounds like he's the like workhorse tailback now, the running back now. I kind of feel bad for him. He's, you know, didn't end up back in Green Bay, and they're having a good season, and he's with the Lions, and they haven't won a game, and he's still playing catch with the fans before the games, and I see that, and I'm just like, it's just such a big loss, such a big personality loss for the Packers not having him on the field. But he's a workhorse, and you know he's going to come motivated and ready to play in that particular game. So I think the Packers do take care of business there. I mean, I would like to see them win out. I mean, I think winning out is their best chance to get that one seed. I don't want to have to go to Tampa Bay to play in a conference championship game. Dallas looks like they're going to have an uphill climb to get back into that one seed conversation. Arizona's still in the driver's seat until further notice. So even though they don't have a history of winning, they've still not lost. And they didn't have Kyler Murray for a couple weeks, and they still won some games. Now that was against Seattle, who's a dumpster fire this year, and some other games that were a little bit easier for them to win. But the Cardinals only have to lose one more. And if the Packers went out and the Cardinals lose one more, the Packers have that head-to-head tiebreaker. Exactly. And then have to hope that Tampa doesn't somehow edge them out come the end of the season. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's absolutely going to be a lot of fun. Well, we survived. Full disclosure, everybody. Matt and I were really struggling with what to talk about in topics, and we made it through. We actually put together a typically sized show here in terms of content. So it'll be good to get back at it to go again, though, next week. We'll be back with the injury report ahead of the Packers' return to the field against the Chicago Bears. In the meantime, everybody, as far as we go around the horn, Quick Slants podcast over at Game On Wisconsin. I'll have another one out on Monday. Matt, I assume you guys are back with the final dump on Friday of next week, as usual. And we will be back for our Saturday show. Again, it'll be the injury report ahead of the Chicago Bears. And I'll have, actually, there will not be any write-up, any post-game write-up for me this weekend because there's no game, so that's it for the content, man. Thanks for another great show. Happy December. And that's all we got. Any final thoughts for the bye week before we sign it off?
A lot of red zone this week. A lot of red zone. Yeah. Going to watch a lot of games. Stress about my fantasy team. Going to go play some bets responsibly out at the casino. The sports book that just opened, so that'll be kind of fun. But other than that, dude, like, no Packer game. It's like it's nice to have where there's no game. You can kind of sit back. You can't lose, right? You only can hopefully improve your spot. And other than that, you just kind of do some chores around the house maybe you've neglected since end of August.
True that. Very true that. Well, everybody, thanks for riding along with us. Very much appreciate it. As the weather is turning and it's getting darker sooner, everybody, stay bundled up, stay warm. Most of all, stay safe, and go Pack Go.